Good morning, everyone.
Reading this morning from Bhakti Shiva, Lesson 45. What is japa? A mantra is a sacred Sanskrit word or phrase, and repeating one's mantra while counting on beads is called japa, or mantra yoga. Such a magic chant forms a kind of spiritual affirmation that we repeat mentally or aloud to draw close to God. Helps us feel in perfect harmony with everything. There are many mantras. Each one honors God or one of the gods. One of Ganesha's mantras is Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. It means praise to the Lord of Devas. Murugan's special mantra is Om Saravana Bhava. It describes the mind as a peaceful, undisturbed lake. The supreme Saiva mantra found at the center of the Yajurveda is Namah Shivaya, which means adoration to Shiva. Because it has five syllables, Namah Shivaya, it is called the Panchakshara mantra, or five-lettered chant. One of your goals as a youth should be to qualify yourself for Namah Shivaya initiation from your guru. This will give the mantra special power for you. After that ceremony, you will repeat it every day 108 times. Chanting Om Namah Shivaya connects you with millions of Shiva's devotees. Om Namah Shivaya feeds your soul, brightens your intellect, and quells the instinctive mind. Until you are initiated in Namah Shivaya, you can chant Om Saravana Bhava. Here is how to perform japa. Sit quietly, holding a strand of 108 prayer beads in your right hand. Repeat the mantra, verbally or mentally. Each time you repeat it, push a bead over the middle finger with your thumb. Concentrate on the sound and its meaning as you have been taught. Keep your mind from wandering. As you chant, the devas send divine rays of blessings. Perform japa anywhere, in the temple, in your home shrine, under a favorite tree, on the banks of a river, or in a remote cave. And Gurudeva's quote, "One who performs japa properly will realize what he knows. You see, japa opens up the inner mind and focuses the energies of certain chakras, which are consciousness encased within the psychic nerve ganglia of the nadi network." Sounds like a Gurudeva phrase there. Consciousness encased within the psychic nerve ganglia of the nadi network. That's very nice. This is from Master Course Trilogy, a little more on japa. Japa is the prelude to Raja Yoga. That's an important point. So japa naturally leads into Raja Yoga. Japa is easier than Raja Yoga, and it naturally leads into it. Japa links Siddhanta with Vedanta through the repetition of the mantra Om Namah Shivaya or Om Saravana Bhava for the uninitiated. Well, how do you link Siddhanta with Vedanta? It means you're aware of being a monist and a theist at the same time. That's what, when Siddhanta is linked to Vedanta within you, you're holding two perspectives, theism and monism at the same time. So japa links them, helps you hold two perspectives. Those who are initiated into the sacred Panchakshara, Om Namah Shivaya, have the advantage, because the repetition of this mantra will make them eventually see directly Shiva's perfect universe, and they in themselves will become a blend of Vedanta and Siddhanta. The uninitiated are in preparation using the mantra Om Saravana Bhava, thus quieting their minds, realizing the all-pervasiveness of Shiva, and seeing the natural state of the mind when all karmas are temporarily suspended is Satchit Ananda, is peace, is bliss. Therefore, Japa Yoga is the prelude to Raja Yoga and all other forms of sadhana. One of the important aspects of Japa Yoga is what we're doing with our mind. We are repeating the mantra, that's clear. We're saying Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. We've got our japa beads there, but what else are we doing with the mind? That's the question. And it's important to have a visualization of something and a specific meaning in mind. So visualization and meaning. We don't just want to be saying Om Namah Shivaya without a visualization and a meaning. For example, the idea here, one visualization, we get the idea Saravana Bhava is a peace, quieting the mind. Using the mantra Om Saravana Bhava, this quieting their mind. So one way, Saravana is a lake, so we could just see the lake, our mind is a lake, Om Saravana Bhava, and the lake is getting smoother and smoother. So there's no movement at all in the lake. That would be one visualization. There's no one right visualization. There's just different ones you can come up with. I guess you could say the right one is the one that works best for you. Or the ones that work best for you. This point is made in the text here of Patashiva. It says, concentrate on the sound and its meaning as you have been taught. So meaning, very important. For our Samaya Diksha booklet, those who receive Namah Shivaya initiation, we came up with 5 different meanings and visualizations, just to give variety. So it shows an example there of what can be done. Om Namah Shivaya, we've defined 5 different ways, 5 different meanings that it has, and a visualization for each one. There's a nice one that's not in the booklet, but certainly a powerful one. The 2-syllable Panchakshara. I'll just stop for a second. You can try and remember. What is the 2-syllable Panchakshara? What does that refer to? It's in Living with Shiva, Lesson 109. Starts out at a distance from it, but then it creeps up on it. When one looks at the earth and the sun, one thinks more of the earth than of the sun, which is so far away. Traveling through space toward the sun, the earth fades into a distant speck, and one contemplates the sun as it looms larger and larger as it draws nearer and nearer. There is no intellect here, you see, for the intellect is connected to the earth and its exterior ramifications of worldliness. That's a good one too there, huh? Exterior ramifications of worldliness. The devotee's path is to merge into the sun. The devotee's path is to merge in the totality of his awareness, willpower, and life force into the self, God, Shiva. Shiva is the ancient name of the self, God. And then it gets to the definition. Mystically, she is the absolute state, and Va is the all-pervading self flowing through the mind. So I'll read that one more time. Mystically, She is the absolute state. Va is the all-pervading self flowing through the mind. So Shiva, Shiva. Back and forth between the two. It is only when the devotee, through yoga disciplines, under the direction of his satguru, traverses the thought strata of his mind that he begins to experience what he has been learning philosophically. This is an important point. It comes up in each of the quotes I read this morning. The original one, it said, he realizes what he learned. So this is saying it, he experiences what he learned. It's distinguishing between intellectual learning and the actual experience or the realization of what that learning really means. Then the sun, his Shiva, the self-God, blooms paramount before his vision. Earthiness, worldliness, humanness, instinctiveness fade into a speck within his memory patterns. Like the astronaut hurtling through space toward the sun, awestruck as to the impending annihilation of the remnants of his identity, the devotee piercing his inner depths awes at the magnificence of Shiva. This then brings willpower into its crowned usage. The transmuted force of the divine will of the devotee compellingly guides the last remnants of intellect and passions, and in total surrender, when confronted to respond, he voices, I know not, Shiva's will be done. The will of Shiva, the totality of all force that is active, quiescent, and non-force, as found in Shi and Va, begins to take over the Dharma and the Karma, and floods through the being of the devotee on the threshold of reality. And so, while in a dual state of assuming some personal identity, he states, Shiva's will be done, as his new and most refined sadhana of giving up the last of personal worldliness to the perfect timing of the infinite conglomerate of force and non-force within him. This, he says, as a mantra unto himself when he sees and hears in the external world. But when eyes and ears are closed, through the transmuted power of his will, he merges into the samadhi of Va and Shi and Va, experiencing reality as himself, and himself as reality. Isn't that nice? It's so powerful. Sometimes I forget it's in Living with Shiva, but it's a very deep, wonderful meditation, and I won't explain why it's what's the difference between reality as himself and himself as reality. I'll let you let you figure that one out. Wonderful day.